This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back. Chucky's coming to you live on 106.7 The Fan and the Team 980 here in the DMV. 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM in Richmond. We are streaming live on the free Odyssey app. You can take us on the go wherever you may be, and you can watch us on the Monumental Sports Network. Brought to you by our friends at Crop Metcalf, the official heating and cooling company of the Junkies. So let's get into the Commanders' defense. Last 2 weeks, they've only given up a total of 27 points. But the first 3 weeks of the season, there were a lot of issues. Baker threw four touchdowns against them as the Buccaneers beat them 37-20. Daniel Jones looked good, threw a couple touchdowns, no picks against them in week two. Joe Burrow, of course, they didn't punt in that game. Joe Burrow looked very comfortable and good in week three. But the last 2 weeks, Kyler Murray looked confused, and Deshaun Watson, I know he's been horrible throughout the season, looked horrific.
He looked worse than confused.
His QBR was below 10. That's hard to do in the NFL. They've racked up a bunch of sacks.
Yeah, they're bringing more pressure against the last two teams they've faced.
The secondary hasn't been toasted.
They've cut that points per game allowed down by, I don't know, 10 points.
That happens when you allow 27 in the last 2 weeks.
Yeah.
After letting up a boatload in the first part of the season.
So if they could be middle of the pack, you'd take middle of the pack in yards allowed and points allowed.
Of course.
Do you trust the defense?
No. Can't fully trust them because I want to see what they do against the Baltimore Ravens. If the Ravens come out and put 35 or 38, then you're concerned again.
I trust them to play well against the inferior teams.
I think that's a good way to put it, to frame it.
So bad quarterbacks. You think it's more on like bad quarterback, bad offenses
but maybe
than the defense making adjustments, the defense making plays.
Louvu had, what are you, three sacks yesterday?
Two and a half,
yeah. Well, team had seven.
He's the real deal.
Armstrong, my neighbor, by the way. Armstrong, Fowler, he got in there.
Yep.
There was a Johnny Newton sighting. I mean, these guys were making plays yesterday. Now, a lot of it's because the Browns' offensive line's suspect and the quarterback sucks. But that's what you got to do against bad teams.
Well, yeah, I think you've noticed that John Allen, his play's improved.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think, at least statistically, he's starting to show up a little bit more. I think Keim mentioned it. I think you're seeing Sanistril kind of live up to that preseason hype that we were hearing. We weren't seeing it at first, but he's starting to show up, make some plays. I've always thought that St. Juiced is solid. Not great, but solid. How many snaps did Forbes even play?
Forbes played four snaps, according to somebody I saw on Twitter.
That's it?
Four.
Wow.
Yeah, they might be out on him.
I don't trust it yet. I'm used to... Remember that first drive that Arizona had last week?
Oh, yeah.
Where they just moved it right down the field, threw touchdown pass to Marvin Harrison Jr.? Kind of used to that, and I do probably put more on... I mean, the Browns hadn't been to 20 points all season long.
Correct.
Deshaun's been horrible all season long. I'm surprised that Stefanski's not moving on from him at this point.
I think it must be...
But the Kyler game, I'll say this. After that first drive, I thought the defense did somewhat of a number on Kyler where he looked confused. Now, I didn't get to watch the games. I only saw the highlights. Kyler had a long touchdown run early in the game where he flashed deuces like at the 45-yard line.
Kyler had one carry for 3 yards against his defense last week. He had 7 for 83 against the Niners this week. Like, they're doing something
to
like bottle up quarterbacks over these last couple of weeks.
Correct.
And why can't they just get better? I'm not going to lump Kyler in with Deshaun Watson. I feel like he's a much higher level quarterback than Deshaun, obviously, at this point in his career.
For sure.
I agree.
Deshaun just looks broken, like he doesn't know what he's doing. Bad offensive line. The rushing game didn't, like, I don't know what they're doing with their rushing game. I mean, Deontay Foreman, Jerome Ford, they're just waiting for Chubb to come back, obviously.
Yeah.
They miss him desperately. But I give the defense credit. They've shoved it on back-to-back teams where I didn't think that was possible after looking at their first few performances.
I'm with you, Cakes.
Didn't think that was within their range of outcomes, but they're taking advantage of bad teams.
I can't trust it completely because when they play a good offense like they did against the Bengals,
look,
they gave up a bunch of points.
They might give up 28 to 34 against the Ravens.
Fully expecting that.
Aren't the Ravens the highest scoring team in the league? Didn't you say that? Or no?
No.
The Commanders are.
We're one.
Points per game
they might
Saints.
Be two.
By game, it's the Saints. By a little bit over the Commanders.
By total points, it might be the Ravens.
What are the Ravens averaging? No.
140, they're at 147.
The Commanders have 155 points.
So they're right behind. I mean, they're like a point
right
behind.
There. Yes.
They have the number one rushing team.
Yeah.
So the Commanders are number two rushing. The Ravens are number one by almost 200 yards.
Right.
So they are really good at running the football. Obviously, Lamar is a big part of it. Derrick Henry. Mm-hmm. Put those two together, you got the number one rushing offense.
I just don't know, honestly, how you defend them. Because you're going to have to put extra guys in the box to stop Henry.
Well,
and then
I was going to bring this up later.
You got to keep the ball away from him. That's what you got to do.
Yeah.
You know, Mark Andrews is supposed to be their number one tight end.
Mm-hmm.
Then he got Likely.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other tight end had almost like 100 yards receiving.
Charlie Kohler, is that correct? Yeah.
They had three tight ends go off yesterday.
Yep.
So maybe they give up 28 to 34 against the Ravens.
Right? You have to expect that.
I mean, you got to keep the ball away from them. If you don't, they're probably going to score. But the following week against Carolina, they should roll up somewhere in the 30s.
They should roll up.
And
conservatively,
the defense,
they should have 425 yards of offense.
And I don't know who's
going to
play
Panthers.
In that game because Dalton was sucked yesterday and Bryce Young came in. So it might be Bryce
Young.
Like
the Panthers game could potentially be another sit Jaden Daniels in the fourth quarter type of game.
Could be.
Potentially.
All right, now we're looking too far ahead. But the defense.
Understood.
You don't trust them. Nobody really trusts them, right?
I trust them against mediocre to bad offensive teams.
Okay.
Against elite offensive teams, I have a hard time trusting them.
Yeah. All right, let's go to the phones. 800-636-1067. What do you make of this defense last 2 weeks? They only allow 14 points to Arizona, 13 to the Browns, and that, I mean, could have been less. This is like garbage touchdown at the end.
I'm just waiting for Valdez to lose his mind temporarily and come up with a one-sided, if the Commanders score X amount of points against my Ravens, I'll do fill in the blank.
Hmm.
I'm just waiting for it to happen.
It could happen. We've got a long week in front of us. He's pretty high on himself.
He's probably pondering it.
Let's go to Keith in Waldorf. Keith, what's up, buddy?
Hey, how are you doing? My comment about the defense is I think that, you know, I mean, they're great athletes, you know, but they're human. And just like when somebody's on a contract year, they play great, and then the next year they kind of fall off a little bit. Well, I think they started doing that this year, not the new guys that we got, but like our, you know, guys that we've had on the team for a while. I think that they were on autopilot mode for, you know, the first couple games because they thought it was going to be business as usual with the team, you know, and then all of a sudden they realize, hey, we got a winner here and we got the potential to do so. And then they woke up. Now, as far as taking care of the Ravens this week, I think the only way that they're going to be able to do that is they're going to have to really have some long extended drives to keep the Ravens off the field and a turnover. A punt return or a kickoff return would certainly be wonderful. But other than that, they're going to have a really hard time trying to stop Derrick Henry.
Yeah, oh, for sure.
Yeah. Captain
Thank
Obvious.
You. Thank you, Keith.
Yeah, talking about
I will say this.
Not playing hard in the first couple of games and then turning it on. I don't really agree with his assessment.
I am scared of our kick return coverage situation because Seibert, whatever his name is, he's excellent.
Austin Seibert.
He's excellent, but he doesn't have a big leg, and they get returns every time.
Right.
And so I'm just afraid we're going to give up a couple touchdowns, frankly.
I'm not worried about that. You know what I like? Reliable kickers from 45 and in.
I'm not saying...
Like those guys.
I'm not saying that I want to cut them. I love them. But I do think we're going to get exposed. You just can't let guys, you know, returns 8 kickoffs every week. Like,
I'll worry
scary.
About that when it actually happens. Look at me, officially not worried about long kick returns.
All right, I'm just telling you, we're going to give up a couple.
Okay.
We're going to give up a couple. All right, let's go to Dave.
Cyber 12 for 12 this season.
What will you do if they don't? It's all about one-sided bets on the
I'm
show
not doing
now.
It.
Hey, it's a great point. Harbaugh special teams coach. They'll have something cooked up.
I'm telling you, you're good because you're going to return every one. He basically doesn't kick it out of the end zone. Dave, what's up?
Hey, good morning, gentlemen. Thanks for taking my calls. I think it's too early to make any kind of generalization about this defense, but what is apparent is they're playing much better. I'm still concerned. They're super weak on that back end. I mean, Quan Martin went down. If they're one injury away from having no help back there. But what they're doing, there's this energy that we haven't seen for decades in this town. So I think that they'll fare okay for the rest of the season. I mean, will they beat a team they should have beat yesterday? I felt bad for Deshaun Watson, sort of post-traumatic stress watching him. And then
why would you
the
feel
Browns
bad
fans
for him? He's a horrible person. And then even worse quarterback.
I mean, just, maybe for the Browns fans and just the franchise, because we've been there before. But we'll see. They beat a team they should have been. We'll find out a lot about this team next week in Baltimore for sure.
Mm-hmm. All right. Thank you, Dave.
You know, I don't feel bad for serial sexual assaulters that have $250 million in the bank.
Yeah. Sorry. Good point.
I don't feel bad for that guy ever.
Yeah,
I agree. I don't feel bad for him one bit.
Nope.
And the Cleveland fan base.
He looks like he's uncoachable.
The Cleveland fan base, you can relate to it. Because you've dealt with it here in Washington, not just with the Commanders, but with the Wizards.
I just slap my knee when I do a lot of this when I think about how much the Commanders are paying Jaden Daniels on a rookie deal, how much the Browns are paying a fraud known as Deshaun Watson. A lot of knee slapping.
Why did they bring in Jameis Winston on that fourth down? I can never figure that one out.
It's just a trick play. Have you a little bit confused.
Trick play. They did a pitch.
They did nothing, but maybe it was supposed to read and see how they reacted. But you could see they were like, okay, you know.
Kevin Stefanski.
I don't know. I thought that was really weird. Right?
Yeah, that was strange.
If Kevin Stefanski.
They should have brought him in and left him in for the rest of the game.
Yeah. If he keeps trotting out Deshaun Watson, Kevin Stefanski is a big, giant eunuch. For doing that.
I wonder if
he's got no cojones whatsoever. He's got to walk into ownership and say, I don't care how much you paid him. He's terrible.
Yeah.
I have to turn to another option. I've been saying this for a month.
Who knows what discussions they're having? Maybe he feels pressure and he's getting pressure by ownership. But if he's got any balls, he would bench him.
Right. If you're Stefanski, you walk into Jimmy Haslam and say, if you need to fire me, by all means, fire me. I'll find another job. Which is probably desirable that he won't have to coach Deshaun Watson anymore. He's probably begging to get out of Cleveland. He's coaching in Cleveland. You wouldn't want to leave Cleveland.
Mm.
Of course you want to leave Cleveland.
Well, I mean, they won 11 games last year. He was pretty happy last year.
That's ancient history.
This year,
I don't care what they did last year.
This year is an abomination.
I mean, maybe it is the shoulder. He just throws... inaccurate passes sometimes.
Yeah, he looked terrible.
He did have one or two.
A couple
I thought he
nice
showed
ones.
Off some arm strength.
Sure.
Yeah, I don't know. It's inexplicable to me. I don't understand the deterioration of
him. And he doesn't look that athletic anymore.
Well, I mean, again, another week where he doesn't really take off. Like Kyler didn't take off.
Who pulverized? Was it Dorrance Armstrong? Where he was like spinning like this?
Yes.
And Armstrong just got him like right here.
Crushed him.
Oh. I was surprised he got up from that.
I'm just
there's no way Deshaun Watson is that much better, if at all, than Winston.
If I were Watson and I took that hit, I would have feigned injury and walked off the field, and I would have taken my helmet off and given it to the equipment guy and said, I'm just not going back in there.
Can I do a bit when we come back? I don't know. What do you have on?
We've got
thing?
Our colleague check in. We're going to talk
to
Craig
Hoffman. Maybe after Hoffman.
But we do have our 9 a.m. bit, and it will be on IG Live, Sports Junkies Radio. Maybe, give us a follow on Instagram.
Maybe 8:45. I just want to look. I think you need to get to 10 to safely say you're going to go to the playoffs, right?
10's a good benchmark.
So I need six more.
Need six more dubs.
I want to go through the schedule and see if I can find six pretty much guaranteers.
All okay. Right, let's do it.
I think it's a little harder than you might think.
Okay. All right.
I think it's a little harder than you might think.
Guarantees?
Well,
sure.
I mean, obviously, it never plays out
the last
way you
week
think,
you were talking about they're like, going to be favored in all these games.
I know, but can you be realistic?
All you got to do, EB, is go 500 the rest of the
way. I know, but...
500 gets you to 10-7.
I see like three easy ones, relatively easy. After that, it gets a little more difficult.
All right, coming up next, we will have our colleague check in. We'll talk to Craig Hoffman, host of the Craig Hoffman Show on the Team 980 on a Victory Monday. Brought to you by Chenega Miles, the 2024 top workplace. Visit careerswithmios.com. All right, coming up at 9 o'clock, Trab is going to have to pay the piper. He's going to have to kiss the toilet because he said if the Browns allow the Commanders to score 30 points and the Commanders win, he would kiss the toilet. Unsolicited. I mean, it came to that. He first wanted to kiss EB's toes.
Yeah, the negotiations
happened. He brought it up.
He just wants to kiss me.
A little update. Roger told me about 15 minutes ago that he was working on one.
Oh, really?
Oh, really?
And I told him I'm a team player. I told him to use the handicap stall.
Oh, you did? Yeah. Okay. You are a team player. Yes.
This anything is for the bit.
So that's coming up.
Add Roger to the list.
Yeah.
That's coming all up right at 9 o'clock. We're going to try and do an Instagram Live. Sports Junkies Radio. Give us a follow on Instagram. But right now, time for our colleague check-in. Host of the Craig Hoffman Show on the Team 980. It is our pal Craig Hoffman. What's up, C-Hoff?
No easy transition on that one, yeah, huh?
We got to tease it. Got to tease it. It's a good bit.
You would never do something so sophomoric on your program. I know this.
Not quite that sophomoric. I leave that to you guys in the mornings. We do some pretty dumb stuff, though. So there's, we try to get our fix in, but sure, we typically leave it out of the restroom, especially at work.
Yeah. Well, what's dumb is betting that the Commanders aren't going to score 30.
Right, because that's what they do. That's basically what they do now. They just go out and roll the ball out and score 30 points every week.
It's actually remarkable. I mean, I'm starting to get used to it, Craig, to be honest with you.
It's wild, especially considering how much bad offense that we've all covered in the last decade. I've been here since 2015, and like mostly offensively, it's been terrible. Even some of the quote unquote good years with Jay and Kirk, where they got rolling a little bit, like it was stretches where they got going. And obviously, we could look back in a couple of weeks, and this could be a stretch, but this is the best offense I've covered. Like, it's not even remotely close in terms of how detailed up it is, mm-hmm. in terms of how many different things they do well. And, Logan and I have said on Take Command the last couple of weeks, like, oh, this is the hardest test Jaden will have faced yet, because Arizona does some good things defensively. Obviously, look what they did yesterday. They went out and beat San Francisco yesterday, who had put up 30-something the week before. Every week, it's like, oh, this is the challenges. This is where it could get tough. These are the things. And then by about the third drive in the game, Jaden's just like, yeah, all right, I got this one. Next, like, how many touchdowns do I have to score till this thing's over?
Mm-hmm. And just his rushing just seems so effortless. And like, if they're going to try to pressure him, like on a third and short or fourth and short, he's just going to tuck it himself. And I think he's got 22 first downs rushing the ball. I'll double check that stat. But it's impactful rushing. And I mean, he's going to rush. If he stays upright, what do you think? 900 yards?
Like, oh, he'll be. Yeah.
Like, he's least, on that sort of pace.
At least. He might be a 1,000-yard rusher this year.
Yeah.
I mean, I had the team PR team looking up a couple of things for me yesterday, just in case the stats came. And one of them, I was like, when was the last time a Washington quarterback rushed for 100 yards in a game? And there's actually only been one in franchise history, Robert versus Minnesota in 2012, which, of course, everybody remembers. And you got so much of that yardage on that one run where the dudes run into each other. So that's the only 100-yard game in Commanders history by a quarterback. And that feels like a very much yet stat. It's almost like, how many is he going to get this year? His rushing, I think you're so right, is such an impactful thing, because it's hard to get first downs, and especially hard to get first downs on third and long. And he's gotten a couple on third and long this year. And it makes the things that teams want to do in certain situations impossible. Third down situations, third and longs especially, most teams want to play man coverage and then blitz. And if you do that and you don't get home, well, now you've got guys, defensive backs who are not looking at the quarterback because they're in man-to-man coverage. They're watching the guy that they're covering. And you now have defenders who have taken themselves out of the play because they've run past Jaden, and now he's in space. And that is, it makes it where it's just not it's third and seven, he ran for 8. It's like, it's third and seven, and he ran for 23. And that completely changes field position. It completely is demoralizing to a defense. It's tiring for a defense. And that then, because they're chasing him everywhere, and then you compound it with, okay, he's fine. Let's get back to the line of scrimmage and get in this hurry up and keep going. And so the way they wear teams down is really, without wearing themselves down, by the way, is really, really impressive. And obviously Kliff has taken his play calling to a new level to enhance that. But some of this is just purely physical. If they are wearing teams out, and his running is a huge part of that.
Yeah, and the offensive line, we questioned before the season started, because there was a couple guys, new guys that we really didn't know who they were, we weren't familiar with, and then they drafted somebody.
Don't lie, Lurch. It's the guys that were staying that you were much more worried about.
Yeah, well, that's true. But, the offensive line has been awesome.
Yeah.
Especially in the run game.
They have. They've done a really – Kliff, I think it's funny because, like, if you know, you know, type of thing.
He's a genius, offensive genius.
Well, I was just saying, in Arizona, people were like, oh, air raid this. You know, his college offense didn't work. And it's like, well, the one thing he did really well in Arizona was run the football. Like, yes. James Conner had a 1,300-yard season.
Yeah.
And then you add
James Conner had 17 touchdowns one of those years.
Yeah, he's really, really sharp in the run game. And what I was listening to, I think it was Ben Solak on Mita Kimes' show last week, and he made a really great point about – you know, you have, you know, in the air raid, right? Mostly it's what we call 10 personnel, four wide receivers, no running or one running back, no tight ends. And instead of having what he has now, where he's got three tight ends on the field all the time, you have to figure out how to get these college 165-pound receivers to block in the run game. And so you have to really think hard schematically about it. And then he got to the NFL and he tried some of that stuff. It didn't really work. He shifted his run game. He started using different personnel groupings, and he's taken that to a whole new level here. And that'll get back to the O-line point in a second. But, like, because he's had to think in detail about that, you see some of that come out in the way they design this run game in terms of certain pullers and getting guys in certain spaces. And so you add that with this particular offensive line, which is filled with terrific athletes. Sam Cosmi gets out in space and moves. Andrew Wiley, not great in a phone booth, blocking one-on-one pass protection, can't get out, run, and smoke people. And so they do a really good job of putting them in good positions, using their strengths, protecting them, you know, in terms of their weaknesses. They use chip help on some of these third down situations where Jaden is going to have to drop back and pass in true drop back. And just the variety in play calling also matters a lot. Like, it really is. You know, Bobby Johnson's done a great job. These guys deserve a ton of credit for the work they put in and the cohesiveness. But I tried to tell people last year, the offensive line issues were so quarterback and play calling influenced. And people were just like, oh, they suck. And I'm like, I get it. You're just watching your quarterback get killed, and it's not very fun. But I promise you, one day you're going to understand that it's a lot more play calling and quarterback driven. And Jaden gets the ball out quickly, and Cliff doesn't put them in true dropback situations. It slows the pass rush. And then you add the tempo factor, and defensive linemen are on the field longer than they want to be, and they're just tired. And all of a sudden, your offensive line looks great. And I'm like, well, remember that thing that I said that eventually you'd understand? I hope you get it now.
Craig, Austin Ekeler, what an awesome signing so far. 30 touches through four games for 301 yards. Even my feeble brain can compute that's 10 yards per touch between his receiving and his rushing. Like, he's been super impactful, and hopefully, you know, like the managed touches for him, especially coming off the concussion, that continues to be a thing. But, I mean, they have to get the ball in his hands as many times as possible without risking injury. I know it's threading the needle, but he's been awesome so far.
He has, and it's, you know, it's kind of funny. You watch him, and I feel like you can see it a little bit more in person, but you can tell on TV. Like, the angles he runs at are so special because he's so low to the ground. He can just kind of, like, shift himself into spaces. And when you think about what his issue was last year, he had an ankle injury. And it's like, well, yeah, if he couldn't really bend and his ankle mobility sucked because his ankle was hurt, it would make sense that the little guy who squeezes through tight spaces and then bursts out of them probably won't be quite as effective. And so now he's healthy. He was healthy going into the offseason, healthy coming into this year. You know, his lower body has stayed healthy. Obviously, hope that the concussion and everything is fine with that. But it has allowed him to be the explosive, like, squirmy type of player that just finds space. And, you know, the league now is so much about explosive plays and how do you generate them. And when you can hand the ball to a guy or get a screen pass to a guy and have him generate an explosive play without having to drop your quarterback back, expose him to big hits, and make him make an accurate throw 30 yards down the field, that's a major, major improvement for the offense. I mean, for all the talk about Jaden's accuracy over the first couple of games, and there's a huge drop off yesterday, and we're not talking about it at all because they still put up 34 points in three plus quarters. Why? Because they found explosive plays in other ways. And some of that was, you know, the screenplay to Austin, the run by Austin. And those explosive plays are how you score in this league. And he has been as big of a factor in those as anybody not named Jaden Daniels this year.
Talking to Craig Hoffman, host of the Craig Hoffman Show on the Team 980. So we put up our Junkies poll of the day, presented by Scotty's Vodka, Maryland made, super smooth, love throughout the DMV. I'll ask you the question. Do you trust the defense yet?
Like, you'd have to define what trust is, which I realize is not how poll questions work. And that's a silly nuance thing that I always want. I'll say this. I actually feel like they played pretty consistently the last 3 weeks. So in that way, yes, I do think they're getting better. I would answer the poll question, yes. I think they're getting better. I also think they actually played fairly consistently the last 3 weeks. The difference is the offenses that they played. Mm-hmm. You play Cincinnati with Joe Burrow, a top five quarterback who gets the ball out quickly, and Ja'Marr Chase, a top five receiver who, as he showed again yesterday, can score from literally anywhere on the field against anyone at any time. And you still give up 33 points, but there were signs in that tape that you're like, oh, they're starting to figure some things out. It gets ruined by what I just talked about with Austin, like explosive plays ruin games for defenses. Well, they still gave up explosive plays, and they were to Ja'Marr Chase, and that's Ja'Marr Chase being Ja'Marr Chase. You go up against a not nearly as good offense in Arizona with a quarterback who had a kind of a rough day, inspired by the Commanders' defense and what they did to him. Marvin Harrison is not nearly as polished as Chase, and they give up 14. They then go up against yesterday against the worst offense in the league. Like that Cleveland Browns offense is an absolute like affront to NFL football. And they thoroughly dominate, and outside of a late score, it would have held them to 6 points. Like, that is the consistency with which they have performed has been there multiple weeks in a row. If anything, they've gotten better over those 3 weeks. And then the results in terms of how many points they've given up has been directly correlated with how good or bad the offense they're playing is. And so if we can count on them to put in this kind of performance, like, against most teams, you're probably giving up 14 to 21, and like you can win a lot of football games that way, especially when your offense is scoring 30 every week.
Well, Cleveland will be drafting a quarterback in the first round. And I would just either cut Deshaun or start the rookie over Deshaun. That's what I would do.
Yeah, the dead money on that contract. There's
only 2 years left. They only have to suffer it for 2 more years. But
we're talking like the Russell Wilson cap hit that the Broncos are taking this year is not even. Like, it's some lower than it should be percentage of what they would eat with Watson. I'm not saying I wouldn't do it either. Like,
they have to pay him. Because he sucks. He literally sucks.
But, like, the problem there is the ownership doesn't want – like, I think Stefanski didn't bench him yesterday to make a point. Because there's no other – like, what competent football coach is keeping Watson out there? Like, especially in the first half. Like, they're in that game. How do you not come out at halftime and be like, all right, we're going with Jameis Winston?
I know.
But, like, also, if I was in the front office in that – team, I would be calling the NFL every day, like, hey, these fresh lawsuits, you think maybe we want to look into them and suspend him and see if we can maybe fire this guy for cause?
Oh, like, they would love that.
The details in those things are horrific. Like, that guy sucks so much, and they're just like trotting him out there every week, and the NFL's like, yeah, go ahead, trot him out there every week. And if it seems like the obvious thing for everybody but Deshaun Watson would be to figure out a way to void that contract because he's a terrible person, and they're just trotting him out there every week. NFL, baby. That's how they do it.
He's painful to watch. I mean, it's just like...
I did enjoy him getting crushed multiple times
that
yesterday.
That was fun to watch.
It looks like when he throws a bad pass, I mean, I saw it on Amari Cooper's face a couple of times. It's like they're just giving up on him.
Yeah, I mean, I've talked to
there's
guys.
There's no way they're supporting him.
Right.
I don't think so.
You know, taking the personal, like, off-field stuff aside for a second. Like, I've talked to guys here through bad quarterback play, and they just kind of give you the, like, hey, man, we're just hoping it clicks for him. Because, like, if you're in the NFL, you're good. And obviously Watson, when he was his last year in Houston before everything went sideways, like, he was a top-five quarterback in the league. Like, he was really, really good. And so what you're just hoping for as you prepare yourself for the week, if you're a receiver or an O-lineman or someone else on that offense, is that he has a week where it all comes together. And then, you know, you get a couple of passes in the dirt fairly early on, and you're like, oh, no, this is what we're doing again? Because these guys work so hard, it hurts to play NFL football, and you're going out there knowing you don't have a shot. And that is just so intensely demoralizing. So I do not envy the other people in that locker room. I'll put it that way.
How do you feel about the Ravens game?
I feel like it should be competitive. I mean, I do think this offense can continue to score. Obviously, Baltimore, like, Derrick Henry could run for 200 yards. The one thing that Washington still needs to really figure out defensively is certain run plays that with pullers, like when you have an offensive lineman that doesn't just block straight forward, but loops around the line and leads a back. And Cleveland didn't run one until the third quarter yesterday, and it was a 35-yard gain on the first time they actually ran it, which tells you also how bad Stefanski's doing as a play caller. But, like, Baltimore ain't going to wait till the third quarter, and the dude running behind those big offensive linemen that are pulling is Derrick Henry. So there is a chance that Derrick Henry ruins this game for Washington, but I also think that Washington can score, so they'll come right back. So in some level, I expect a shootout. Like, the lean would be shootout a la Cincinnati, Baltimore yesterday. Of course, that means it'll wind up being like an 18-17 game because that's how the NFL works.
Mm-hmm.
See y'all. Have a great show today.
Thank you, boys. Have a good one. And good luck, Drab.
Yeah, he's going to need it.
Check out the Craig Hoffman Show on the Team 980. Drab, he's got about 22 minutes until he has to kiss the toilet.
I might be working up a modest.
Oh, really? Got something brewing over there?
My tummy is just...
Have you been eating garbage, or are you just drinking a ton of coffee?
Just the coffee.
Yeah.
Valdez worries me how much he's into it. He's got like such a perverse pleasure in this.
Stumper and Valdez, big time into duty.
Yeah. Well, yourself.
I'm duty as a human.
I mean, you're king duty.
I find duty humor somewhat hilarious.
Yeah, but you've never mailed it like Stumper?
Yeah, I don't think I quite have the same infatuation. I think Valdez really thinks about duties a lot.
Someone's projecting.
Phone number's 800-636-1067. You want to chime in on the MGM National Harbor listener lines here on the Junkies. Been celebrating yet another Commanders win. That's four in a row. And the Commanders atop the NFC East throughout the show. But wanted to sprinkle in a little college football talk.
Oh,
how does Bama lose to Vanderbilt?
It's shocking. I mean, of course, that's the team I picked for our Power Survivor pool, and
yeah,
I think 12 other people.
It was a shocking. It was the worst defensive performance you'll see Alabama have, maybe ever.
Didn't they just beat Georgia last week?
Yes,
they did. Yes.
But see, that's college football. College football is very unpredictable. The game has changed. The world has changed in college football. Vanderbilt had the ball, and Vanderbilt's better
than they usually are. That loss by Virginia Tech to Vandy all of a sudden doesn't look so bad.
Yeah,
like, but Pavia is a baller.
He's a good
threat. Like, you shouldn't bet against that guy. That guy like seems like a winner.
Well, look, Clark Lee is their coach, and he did really well in the portal. He brought in all these guys from the portal, so they're just a better team.
Yeah.
But there's no way they should have the ball for 42 minutes against Alabama. It was a terrible performance defensively for them. It's a bad loss. But now that the college football playoff has expanded, it doesn't really hurt you as much. That loss would hurt you, possibly, if there was only four teams. With 12 teams, two losses, you could possibly get in. So it was just staggering.
Roll down tide.
Our college football
And by the way, five of the top 25, actually five of the top 11, lost.
Yeah, our college football talk on 106.7 The Fan, presented by T-Mobile. Head to T-Mobile.com and you get a great deal on iPhone 16 Pro. Yeah, I mean, Tennessee lost.
Yep, they looked terrible.
Yep, Arkansas played on the road. Four.
Arkansas played very good defensively.
I brought this up with John Feinstein. Give Navy credit. They went out and pounded Air Force.
Mm-hmm.
They're what, 5-0? Navy are both 5-0. I think I saw the graphic. The first time both of those teams are 5-0 since 1945,
I think.
Five.
So, I mean, Saturday night,
way back.
I just asked Jason when the game started.
Mm-hmm.
Ask me when I went to bed on Saturday night.
Oh,
well, you said you were watching UFC.
This is going to tilt me.
Probably 2 a.m.?
4 a.m. I'll tell you why. So, went out to dinner with Chris Farley and had a great time with Chris and his wife. That was till like 11. Then I stopped by my buddy's place. He was having a birthday party. It was a poker party.
Mm-hmm.
So I actually played some Hold'em until about 12:30.
Nice.
Came home, and me and Dylan watched the UFC. That ended up about 1:30. Miami game still going. Watch it. But here was my fatal flaw. I've mostly given up on drinking caffeine.
Mm-hmm.
But during the poker game, which was only like an hour that I played Hold'em, first, I had a beer, but I was actually getting kind of tired, and I saw they had a Coke in the fridge.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
And I had a Coke.
You had it at like midnight.
I had a Coke, I think probably actually after midnight.
Okay.
Wired after 2 o'clock.
Yeah.
Plus, like, the Pereira knockout was awesome, and you're kind of jacked up. Miami storms back to come back. That was an incredible win.
Yeah.
Next thing I know, it's 4 a.m. and I'm looking at the clock in bed.
You're actually an insane person.
What time did you get up on Sunday?
8.
Jeez, you got 4 hours of sleep.
So you slept well last night then?
Not really. Stayed up late again.
Sunday scaries. You had Sunday scaries.
Yeah, he stayed up probably and watched the Steeler Cowboy game.
No, I didn't stay up to watch that. I didn't stay up to watch that.
I don't know how you do that.
I mean, sometimes life, like, you got swim meets, you got soccer games, whatever.
No,
there's no reason
to go to bed at 4.
There's no scenario ever in my life right now, but
unless you're sick,
a family emergency where I'm up until 4 in the morning.
Right.
Right.
When's the last time you're up till 4?
Till 4 in the morning?
Yes. Probably Borgata.
Yeah, it's probably right. probably road trip to the Borgata.
Which, by the way, some people were talking about, we should maybe do for the 30th anniversary.
It's not a bad idea.
Go back up to AC. A
lot of fun memories.
A lot of people bringing that up.
Hazy memories from those trips.
Yeah. Just something to, you know, keep it in the back of your mind.
Yeah, I would do it.
I think that's the last
Cakes would have mocked the friendly poker game I was in because they had one of those cards which says which hands beat other hands. You know, because they're just like...
Oh, the people that just didn't even understand.
Our buddy Giovanni's, he played poker in Italy, and he's a big poker player, but then he had his friends
but I would have realized,
his birthday party, and some of the guys just don't know.
As soon as I saw that, that...
He's your target.
No, it's just... I'm just going to... I mean, I can't take the game seriously.
Well, the other thing is, I couldn't...
Around a cheat sheet.
Guess what? I couldn't take it seriously. There was no actual money on the line. Who cares?
I mean, no stakes
bragging rights? You're playing for bragging rights?
You guys weren't playing poker. You were playing, like, war.
Yeah,
I mean, it doesn't even...
I think his wife set up the party, like, to make it a theme party.
Yeah.
And that's cool.
Well, you
should have
done, like, just a minimum, like, $5 buy-in.
Yeah, well, a theme should have been...
So you could play for real money. $50.
I would have done that.
There's some financial incentive.
Right.
Right? I could never do
that. You know, you guys weren't playing poker.
But I showed up late. The party started at 8. I got there at 11:30.
Yeah.
Mm. You simply put a $5 buy-in, and I will tank. I will think about decisions.
Right.
I will try to play correctly.
There's something at stake.
For $5.
Yeah.
Hey, but it's just chips. Who the hell cares?
Nobody cares.
I mean, that's just dumb.
Nobody cares. So, you know, I flew this weekend, just a little quick anecdote, and everything was fine. But I got to tell you, I am so uncomfortable now flying because they board you so early. You're boarding... And you're waiting 30 to 40 minutes before you take off. And
you don't have to.
If your group gets called, you want to get bored.
I try and wait.
It might be the move to wait, but I always have something to put up top, so you don't want to wait too long.
That's true.
So, you know,
but usually there's going to be space.
Usually, but these flights have been packed. But anyway, you know, it's only an hour and 20 minutes or so, but between that and the...
Where'd you fly to? Boston?
Yeah. It's just 2 hours sitting in that plane. I get restless legs. I just, you know, my knees are up against the thing.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I slouch. Part of it is bad.
Sure.
It's bad posture. But I don't think I could ever fly, like, out to Vegas again. I don't know how I did it before.
Long.
I fly to California.
Yeah.
But when I went on my honeymoon to Maui.
Oh, that's like two long flights.
Yeah.
You got to stop at California, right?
Maybe first class.
I still can't believe he played golf 3 times on his honeymoon to Hawaii.
But Eric, my flight back from San Francisco was brutal.
Yeah.
Brutal.
But maybe the move is first class. I do have a buddy who's cheap. But the one thing he does do, he buys first class.
That's his splurge.
First class. You know,
I wasn't willing to spend it.
He uses points or whatever. And he wastes his points on first class.
Does his name rhyme with Rom Schmealy?
No. That guy only flies.
Okay, well, he's super rich.
Yeah.
So that makes sense.
That's why I don't go anywhere.
It's really uncomfortable.
I'd rather drive.
And I don't know what
I think it's uncomfortable driving for 7-8 hours. Yeah. Believe me.
It's very uncomfortable.
Big time.
I'd
rather do that than fly, five.
Well, I'm going basically the same area this weekend because I got to go to New Haven and then Brown, you know, in Providence.
Yep.
I'm driving this one.
Hey, I saw the team had a big win, right?
Big win against Dartmouth. They were down 2 sets. Well, we had never won. We had never beaten Dartmouth. And it's not like they're great. They're like average.
I have no idea.
I'm just explaining to you. They're average in the Ivy League. But for whatever reason, their average teams were always beating us. We were down 2 sets. Same scenario. It's our senior year, you know, with my daughter and all her friends. And we come back and win in 5 sets. Meg plays great. She serves out the last 6 points.
Nice.
So, you know, we're down 14-10. We win to go 14-11. Meg comes in because it's her turn in the rotation. And it's kind of nerve-wracking when you're serving. Like, you can't, you know, you miss a serve, it matches over.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and she had to do that 6 times.
Yeah.
And we won all those points. It was pretty incredible.
Did you pat yourself in the back because of your ring?
You know what? I didn't bring it.
Oh, so they weren't necessarily inspired by the ring?
No.
No, it's been a talk. It's been the talk of the season, but I actually forgot to bring
it. The talk of the season.
Well, the girls talk about it a little bit. They talk about it a little bit. To be honest with you, it's a pain in the ass because when you wear the ring, let's say you travel for a weekend, it's so ostentatious. It's so large that, like, you got to be careful, like, when you go to a gas station or something, like, or like you're walking around the street at night for dinner and you have this big ass, you kind of feel like a target.
Sure.
So I often put it in my pocket and I just think that's a bad, That's a good way to lose it.
Yeah.
So big, it looks like you're holding.
Yeah, you get an extra lump in your pocket. Doesn't hurt.
Trust me. It's not a great thing to wear, like, for, like, 3 days straight wherever you go. Mm-hmm. You feel, you know, you definitely feel like, wow, people are noticing this. Right. So. But yeah, big
I whipped
win.
Out the ring for the Odyssey meeting that CK had me do, some national sales meeting.
Hey, yeah. Hopefully you got some new clients. Bring?
The Nats or the Caps?
I had both of them because I have them both in like a case.
Oh, so you didn't
so
wear
I just kind of showed them,
you
and just, then I took one out and uh-huh. flashed it.
The Nats one is just enormous.
Mm-hmm, it's a big one.
The Caps one's a little more manageable.
Hey, your ring beat Dartmouth.
Yeah, that's right. It's because you're... A Stanley
do
Cup
the
champion,
Caps,
EB.
Do the Caps open their season in 5 days?
Saturday night, Capital One Arena. Devils
in town.
Hey, it's Josh Harris. My hockey team's in town, and we're playing the Caps. Have you seen what my football team's doing? They're actually playing.
I can't believe
really
the
well.
Hockey season's here already.
It's here.
NBA preseason's here. Alex Saar hit 3 threes.
JP asked me if I saw Alex Saar, and I said, NFL Sunday.
I knew you didn't.
I didn't see anything but guys wearing helmets.
I said, let me tell you something that you didn't watch and doesn't mean anything.
Right.
Alex Saar actually looked good last
night. NBA preseason.
Right.
Find something more meaningless. I challenge you.
I think Saar's going to be okay. He's not going to be
some
prolific scorer in his first couple years, but he's fine.
Yeah.
He's going to be fine.
I know this. EB was grossed out by what he saw in the bathroom.
I went and used the bathroom, and I was I'll go over there.
I walked in there because I had to go pee-pee.
Yeah.
And I saw your shoes under there. I walked out.
No, but you didn't go into the handicap stall.
I didn't. Stall, and whoever it was, Roger, whoever didn't flush.
Oh.
And you're going to puke. Yeah. I don't know how you're going to kiss
Are
that
thing.
Are
you kidding me? What do you mean? There's duty in the toilet?
Yes.
I thought that's what we thought was going to happen.
It was grand.
All right, let's talk about
there,
it next.
Whoever went in there is definitely
We'll talk about it next. This will go on the IG Live. Mike Maher, we set for IG Live. We'll do IG Live. Sports Junkies Radio. Give us a follow on Instagram. We will do that next here on the Junkies.